Hello, and welcome to Joint States Policy Podcast. I'm Susan Elder, and I'm glad to have you here joining us today. This is our sixth podcast on policy issues in the state of Pennsylvania. I'm here today with several members of our staff from Joint State. We have Brian DeWalt, who's our audio engineer and co-host.
Hi, Susan. It's good to join you today.
We have Frank Lill here with us today. He's the project manager on the resolution we'll be talking about.
Hello, Susan. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, Frank. And we also have Glenn Passowitz, our executive director here at Joint State. Glenn, I was hoping that you would be able to intro our topic for us. Could you take a moment and do that?
Hi, Susan. Sure. This episode is about our recent report on the coordination of veteran services in Pennsylvania, which was directed by Senate Resolution 170 of 2019, which was sponsored by Senator Iovino. This is a big topic in Pennsylvania because, as it happens, the Commonwealth is home to the fourth largest veterans population in the United States. Like several of the reports we've discussed in previous podcasts, this one was written with the assistance of an advisory committee. Unlike the others, however, Senate Resolution 170 called for the appointment of a legislative task force. For purposes of our work here, a legislative task force is generally composed of four legislators appointed by the leadership of the chamber from which the resolution originates. In the case of SR 170, two Republican and two Democratic senators were appointed. A task force serves a broad oversight role, typically providing some input and guidance on the appointing of the advisory committee, perhaps providing some input during the course of the project, and then giving a final approval to the report before it is released to the public. Task forces aren't expected to have an active role in the conduct of the research and the writing. And over the years of experience, what we found is that that arrangement works well because advisory committees tend to defer to the authority of the legislator, and they maybe don't have the same level of discussion and conversation that they would otherwise. So with that, Susan, I'll turn it back over to you so we can dive in and start talking about the coordination of veteran services.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for that overview. Frank, can you give us a little bit of an idea, broadly speaking, of the scope of that resolution and the project in general?
Yes, thank you, Susan. Senate Resolution 170 established a task force, as Glenn mentioned, on services for veterans, including the coordination of services in this Commonwealth. The resolution also further directed the Joint State Government Commission to establish an advisory committee, which reports to the task force, and they were to conduct a comprehensive review and analysis of services for veterans in the following areas. One was veteran services networks and collaborative organizations operating in this Commonwealth. Another was models currently being utilized for interorganizational communication within the veteran service community. Another was technological platforms that are currently being used to collect, store, and exchange data. And finally, any other areas recommended by the task force relating to the coordination of services among veteran service organizations.
Thanks, Frank. Before we go any further, could you give us a little bit of a picture of the veteran population in this Commonwealth? I think people probably have a very specific picture dependent on perhaps who they have in their life who's, you know, who might be a veteran. I was wondering if you have any data that might speak to that.
Thanks, Susan. Yes, as Glenn mentioned, we are home to the fourth highest population of veterans. And also compared to veterans nationally, Pennsylvania has a higher percentage of veterans age 65 and older. In 2015, it was approximately 51%, and it rose slightly on a percentage basis to 55% in 2017.
Thanks, Frank.
Frank, in December of 2016, Joint State released another report that was also about veterans. Its title was Veterans Benefits and Programs in Pennsylvania. I was wondering if you could explain how your current study that we just released is different from the one from 2016.
Thanks, Brian. As you mentioned, The Joint State Government Commission's report in 2016 reviewed services, benefits, and programs offered to veterans, National Guard, and Reserve service members and their families by Commonwealth agencies, veteran service organizations, secondary schools, institutions of higher education, and the federal government. That report concluded that most of the benefits and programs for veterans are determined and funded by the federal government. Consequently, room for improvement lies mostly in the areas of effective program administration and facilitating access to services. Similarly, a 2014 needs assessment from the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs found the challenges in meeting veterans' needs lay not with what is available, but how it is available, and that the flow of information to veterans about available services, benefits, and programs is overwhelming in both volume and presentation. So this advisory committee took the approach from a perspective that there are a sufficient number of services available to veterans out there, but the flow of that information is overwhelming and lacks coordination.
Yeah, and if I could just jump in there, Frank and Brian, when we released the 2016 report, a gentleman from the Pentagon, whose job was to help coordinate veteran services in the Mid-Atlantic region, approached and made a point of saying that our report was the only compendium of services available that had been published by a state that he was aware of. And he was, I'll use the word effusive, in his praise for that book, for that resource book for veterans.
Thanks, Glenn. It's always encouraging to hear positive feedback about our reports after we release them. Sometimes after we publish reports, we're not really sure how well they're received by the public or by subject matter experts. So, Susan, what is our next question for Frank?
Frank, given some of the challenges that you've just mentioned, what were the issues that the advisory committee identified regarding coordination of those services?
Thank you, Susan. One big issue offhand was the underutilized services. Many veterans are not taking advantages of all the services and benefits available to them, such as the first-time home buyer's credit, caregiver support, or educational benefits. And without timely information, a veteran can lose out on those benefits even if they don't plan to use them for themselves. A veteran may not be aware that the details surrounding the transfer of educational benefits to their dependents, including time limits and varying benefits based on National Guard or active duty service time.
So, Frank, you mentioned these underutilized services. Why do you think veterans aren't taking advantage of the benefits that are available to them?
Great question, Brian. A veteran may choose not to seek help because of some of the following reasons. Stigma of seeking help, you know, they don't want to appear of a sign of weakness, stigma of mental health issues, or geographically isolated in where they live. Sometimes it's limited resources, possibly a lack of insurance. In numerous cases, it could be limited technology and lack of awareness of what is available or where to even go to find this information.
To quickly clarify, when you say limited resources, is that on the veterans to seek out these services, or is that more on the provider?
I would say, Brian, this is limited resources on the part of the veterans. In some cases, a veteran may be homeless, may not have the proper transportation to get to a facility to seek out and find this information. Also, Brian, in 2016, the Veteran Metrics Initiative, the TVMI, also known as the Transitioning Veterans Survey, TVS, was implemented with a sample of veterans drawn from a population of military personnel who transitioned out of the military between June 2016 and September of 2016. The TMVI hosted a survey which examined the veteran non-use of programs and services in the first 3 months of their transition to civilian life. The focus was on those who were discharged from active duty service and who reported not using any programs in at least one of four domains of well-being. The first domain was a vocational educational domain. Another was legal, financial, and housing. A third domain was health. And the final domain dealt with social relationships. Of all the reasons that veterans listed for not using a programs, no need was the most significant number of responses in three of the four wellness domains. However, there was still a significant number of veterans that indicated the following reasons. One was they have not yet found a program that meets their needs. Second was they're not sure if they're even eligible for a program. Their third reason was they didn't know where to get the help. And that's what our program jumped in to look at, is all of these reasons of why they're not seeking out these benefits. So based on the reasons given for non-use of programs in the first 3 months after separating from military service, the TVMI study authors concluded that veterans need clear information about available programs, eligibility requirements, where to locate them, and how to identify which programs will benefit them the most.
So Frank, you're giving us a good sense of all these programs and the different organizations and associations. How do they communicate with the veterans, but also how do they communicate with each other? Can you give us some brief examples?
Of course, Susan, thank you. Both state agencies and private organizations have tried to better organize and coordinate services provided to veterans. These efforts fall into three categories or models that describe their function. The first category can be a self-navigation. This is where the veteran finds all the information and resources on their own. The second would be assisted navigation. This is where an organization will work with the veteran. They'll go in and help find them the appropriate resources. Third, there's a hybrid that typically involves creating a user profile on a website and engaging with risk or a need screening software. At the state level, the DMVA has PA VetConnect, and the Department of Health and Human Services is also rolling out a new resource and referral tool. While the resource and referral tool is not directly targeted at veterans, it should make it easier for its partners to provide resources to all citizens in need, which include veterans. In the private sector, PA Serves operates in the greater Pittsburgh region as a coordinated system of public, private, and nonprofit organizations working together to serve veterans, transitioning service members, and their families, which creates the possibility of assisted navigation. It is part of a broader America Serves model, and that model has 16 regional chapters throughout the country. Also, finally, not limited to just veterans, there are systems such as Pennsylvania 211, which acts as a care coordinator for Pennsylvanians in need of social services, such as confidential crisis and emergency counseling, disaster assistance, food, healthcare, and insurance assistance, stable housing, utilities payment assistance, employment services, and child and family services, as well as assistance in connecting with services specifically for veterans.
So Frank, you talked about the current models and technology platforms out there. What did the advisory committee recommend we should do with them?
Thanks, Brian. The majority of the advisory committee recommended creating a Commonwealth-wide navigation system, utilizing an existing system that's already out there, to produce a centralized case management or resource center for veterans and service providers. The advisory committee believed that any system of navigation should collect data and be guided by evidence-based practices. PA Serves currently supports a three-county area near Pittsburgh. Some members felt it could be expanded as a Commonwealth-wide navigation system, and that it currently demonstrates that it's guided by these evidence-based practices through its in-progress reviews. Funding would be a principal barrier to expanding the PA Serves model statewide, and the group estimated that it would cost about $2 million annually.
Okay, so on the user end, this navigation system would be a website, correct?
Yes, the thought would be going into a website, and it should have a few specific features.
Yes, I was going to ask what kind of features we can expect.
It should be able to employ navigators or outreach specialists to assist veterans in navigating the available resources through various mediums. For example, telephone, online chat, email. Those navigators can provide guidance to help veterans understand what services are available to them, help veterans register and sign up for services, and assist in coordinating services for the veterans. It should also explore the possibility of using a peer-to-peer approach and employing Pennsylvania veterans as navigators. Such an effort would require support infrastructure that has employed staff to manage and ensure the quality of those veterans that are helping and assisting as navigators. It should also include the intended recipients of the program. For example, Pennsylvania veterans should be involved. They should be involved from the planning through the implementation and the evaluation phases of the program. This ensures equitable practices and greater stakeholder engagement. Now, while the majority of the advisory committee recommends creating a Commonwealth-wide navigation system, a portion of the advisory committee believe the Commonwealth should be cautious of a one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to navigation systems, and that the Commonwealth should not try to reinvent the wheel when there are systems or models out there that work or simply can be improved upon. The County Directors of Veterans Affairs are already mandated to perform many of the tasks discussed and are considered the first line of contact for veteran benefits. Accredited county directors have access to the federal VA system as duly recognized claimant representatives under the DMVA, their national organizations, or any of the national veteran organizations. Furthermore, there are multiple systems, as we discussed previously, which are available within the Commonwealth that connect veterans to benefits and services, such as Pennsylvania VetConnect, Pennsylvania 211, and the Act 66 Program Veteran Service Officers, which are detailed in the Models and Technological Platforms section of our report. The DMVA, in cooperation with the Department of Human Services and other Commonwealth agencies, have already taken action to create a resource and referral tool known as RISE PA that will act as a navigation system and capture, manage, and provide data analysis that is tailored to the needs of its customers and the agencies that it supports.
So a navigation system or a technology platform is a main focus of this report, from what I'm hearing you say, Frank. Are there any other key recommendations put forth by the advisory committee that you'd want to highlight for us here?
Yes, Susan, great question. The advisory committee recognized the horrible events that unfolded at long-term care facilities during the pandemic, which are home to many veterans, and recommended some ways that the facilities address those issues in order to improve care coordination. The advisory committee also acknowledged a distinction between today's veterans who may be computer savvy and yesterday's veterans who may be a little older, possibly in nursing home care, and otherwise unable to navigate the internet. Any solution should include low or no tech ways to help improve veterans' awareness and access to services.
So, Frank, what do you mean when you say low tech or no tech solutions?
Well, Brian, the advisory committee recommended that any Commonwealth-wide navigation system should also be a clearinghouse and publisher of a resource book for Pennsylvania veterans. This book would be particularly helpful for the paper-based generation and include all the relevant education and information about veteran services throughout the Commonwealth. The advisory committee also believed that it would be valuable to continue to meet in some capacity, similar to the meetings held for the work of this report. Ongoing meetings would allow veteran organizations with shared goals to streamline communication and share information to improve the coordination of veteran services within the Commonwealth on a regular basis.
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate that highlighting of some of the additional recommendations that the advisory committee and the task force discussed. This is a worthwhile topic. It's time for us to wrap up our conversation now, and I appreciate you joining us today, Frank. Listeners, thank you for joining us as well. Our website has the full report, and you can access that by going to jsg.legis.state.pa.us. The music on our podcast today was provided by Joseph McDade. Thanks all for joining us.